Well, good morning, everyone. If you would take out your Bibles and open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, page 1184 in the Pew Bible. People of all ages grieve over things. It's not something that is just reserved for a certain age group or a certain situation in life. I think about sometimes students, young people, they may grieve over the end of a high school era or a college era. They may long for those days to stay around longer. There may be even parents who grieve a little bit watching their children grow up, and they start getting to the older years and they realize that the time on the clock is running out for their time at home. And yet at the same time, even as parents, to see their children grow up and get married, sometimes they grieve knowing that those years are gone. And yet at the same time, so often we think about grief in terms of seeing people who may lose a good friend, for a parent to bury a child, for a husband or a wife to bury their mate. And typically when we think about these times, we understand grief. And yet there are ways that grief can be handled where it will really destroy your life. There are other ways to handle grief that are actually beneficial. Sometimes even in marriages, whenever they dissolve, there's a grief because one person did not want that to happen. And those grieving aspects of how they come in form and shape the rest of our lives. And so many times, those things can be either detrimental or very beneficial. People go about grieving in so many different ways. Some people look at grief and they decide, you know, I'm just going to drown in grief. Some people go through days of grief and they decide, I'm just going to immerse myself in something new so that I don't have to think about it. Some people dive into work and go, maybe I'll just work so hard I won't have time to think about it. And yet, the one aspect I want to deal with this morning is about grieving with gratitude. Some people may look at that and go, well, that's easier said than done. But whenever it's done, it's well said. It is something that you can look at and you can see. I want to tell you about a verse in Psalm before we really get into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, because it really gives us the layout of where we're really headed. David writes this in Psalm 119, verse 28. If you're a note taker, write that down. Psalm 119, verse 28. And David says this. He says, my soul weeps because of grief. He says, my soul weeps because of grief. He says, strengthen me according to your word. If you want to find strength while grieving, it's going to come in looking at God's word and responding out of faith to it. I don't know exactly where David was coming from whenever he writes that in Psalm 119. I don't know if he was thinking about his best friend Jonathan when he dies. I don't know if he was thinking in terms of whenever Saul dies on that same day, of perhaps his greatest enemy on the planet has died. I don't know if he was thinking maybe even about Absalom, his son, when he dies. Or maybe even thinking about Uriah, the one who he had brought in his death in a way to cover his own sin. Grief can come on in many different forms and many different ways because of many different circumstances. But I want you to realize this heart. So often we do. Our soul weeps of grief. But the real question is, are we going to be strengthened according to his word? Because strength is available in those moments of grief, in times of grief. The question is this where we're going to turn in life? Now, thinking about that, I want you to realize it's going to take a mindset of gratitude. You're going to see it show up in this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you could plug in so many different illustrations of all of these points. But we're going to hone in on the idea of grieving and going to see the application of these things together. Look at verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul writes, "Rejoice always." In the midst of grief, this may not be the first thing that comes to mind. It could be, but it might not be. You'll have to set your mind there to really find strength according to the Word of God. Because if you're going to find strength from His Word, it means we're going to have to apply these principles. You may look at this and go, are you sure this really applies even when grieving a loved one or grieving a situation in life? And maybe you're reminded of Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, where Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." He says, do you understand your place in the Lord? Because that should always bring about rejoicing. And he's so clear in Philippians 4, 4 about rejoice in the Lord always. He says, I'm not kidding, and I mean always. Of going, in a time of loss, can we find something to rejoice in? Can we look back at this relationship that we had, or maybe a situation that we had, and actually rejoice over the fact of we got to share in that time together? Because whenever you really consider it here, to go look at this wonderful relationship that God gave. And so often, the greater the relationship that we enjoyed, the deeper the grief is. It's just kind of a pendulum swing to the opposite end. Because now it feels like something's missing. But to go, can we really rejoice in this about what's going on? I think sometimes about husbands and wives, to lose your mate, there's nothing like having someone to walk by your side whenever times are good and to share those times together. But perhaps it may mean a little bit more whenever there's someone that you could cry together with and you could share those more intimate aspects of life together with. And all of a sudden, they're gone. Sometimes we wonder, what are we going to do? But the first aspect has to be, what am I going to choose to make my mindset? It's a decision that we make. It's not something that just happens. There has to be a decision, a thoughtful intention, a mindset to go, I'm going to be thankful to the Lord for what He gave. Then notice this next part, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. When you lose someone close to you, don't forget to pray. You're praying for God's will. To understand, even in situations where you lose someone that you had no idea that the moments left with them were merely just days rather than years or decades. He says, pray. Pray without ceasing. And really, when you start looking at this, you might start to wonder, this is what you even see in Jesus. In Matthew chapter 14, it talks about that someone tells Jesus about John the Baptist's death. And John's death was something completely, he was martyred. And so here he was in prison, he's killed, and Jesus hears word about it. And Jesus wants to go up on the mountain and pray. But it just so happens that thousands of people show up. And so before he's going to go up to pray, he takes the time to serve. He takes the time to take these loaves and these fish and feed thousands of people. And then after he sends his disciples away and he sends those that are fed away, he goes up to the mountain to pray. He knew who to go to. He knew who to go to in every situation. But even in John's death, he wants to get to the mountain. And he remembers, I'm still here to serve. So oftentimes when people get into grief, they just want to become a recluse and get away from serving anything or anybody. Realize, that's not the real show of gratitude. here's Jesus. He shows us. You still look to the needs of other people. Pray. Pray for strength. Maybe even pray to understand, what do I really miss about this person? Because oftentimes when you come to those moments, when people bury their mate, or perhaps a child or a grandparent, you really come back to the heart, specifically with mates. You're not just burying your mate. You may also be burying your very best friend. And it's hard to lose both in the same moment. But to realize, praying without ceasing tells you who your enduring best friend really is. Here's the God who gives strength. Here's the God who gives comfort. And so you really see these pictures that are laid out in deciding, how am I going to respond to God when I'm grieving? Can I rejoice always? Then notice the next verse, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Once again, he comes back to this idea of giving thanks. And now it's tied around in everything. Even in losing someone close to you, can we still give thanks to God for what's been given? Once again, you see this idea of mindset and attitude, because this is really the pivotal point of deciding, and what am I going to do moving forward? Am I going to give thanks to God, or am I going to become someone who's bitter? And you realize, and in that point, life will go in two completely different directions based upon your mindset. Now, remember what David wrote about. He says, grieving of my soul, in tears weeping. He says, it's going to be from God's word that I'm going to find strength. So often in times of loss, you once again have to choose spiritual or fleshly. Am I going to be spiritual and give thanks to God for the moments we share together, for the past memories that I have, really seeing for those who are spiritually influential over you to really see their guidance and what they gave? Or do we become fleshly, self-centered people who are grieving because we don't get to have the person we want to be around? In everything, give thanks. And then notice what Paul brings out. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you have ever wondered after losing someone close to you, what is God's will for me? In everything, give thanks. That's God's will for us in Christ Jesus. To really be a grateful people of going, we got to share in this relationship together. We got to see the benefits that came with it and to really understand and grasp the blessing of the gift that's been given, even though it was just for a short time on earth. And if it's someone who is faithful in the Lord, you know that eternity waits to share together in the blessings that only come in Christ. And you can be grateful for knowing that. Now, I want you to consider this next thought. Look back at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, page 677. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, Solomon, a man of wisdom, that God gave him the wisdom, is talking to specifically to young men in verses 9 through 10. But I want you to notice the application that he makes. Just looking at verse 10. He says, so remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Notice what he equates together. It's interesting that he puts them in the same boat. He says, remove grief and anger from you. I don't think it's so hard for us to see the danger that comes with anger. I think we see that a little bit more clearly. But do we understand that grief can be just as pivotal? Deciding what we do with grief will make a major influence on the rest of our lives. If you notice, Solomon points out one aspect of this. He says at the end of verse 10, he says, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. He says, if you're going to dwell in the camp of anger or grief, notice what you're going to lose. You're going to lose your childhood. You're going to lose the prime of life. What's Solomon really saying? If you're going to dwell in the camp of grief or anger, because people can be angry at God when somebody dies, it doesn't make it God's fault for your attitude. He says, you will waste your days. You will waste the prime of life. You will waste your childhood. I'll tell you about something that I know personally. Husband and wife, they were married when she was 20 years old. They were married for over 65 years. So that means she was 85 years old whenever he died. He was buried in a mausoleum here in Jefferson City. From the time that he died, for the next 10 years, about every afternoon, her little red Honda would pull up in front of the mausoleum, and she would go in there and she would grieve over her husband. She did it for more than a decade until her health was so declined that she could no longer go. She lost the last 10 to 12 years of her life because she was just grieving over her husband. God had given her 12 more years, and because of grief, it completely erased all that time. Because she would not move beyond that. Some people may look at that story and go, look at how loving she is. Her husband, if he loved her, would not want her to do that. He would want her to go serve the Lord. Go do what's good. Go be helpful. Go help guide others. But instead, because of choosing grief, the rest of her life was spent that way. All those days, whenever we set up camp in grief, you're just going to waste time. Because the same Lord who's looking there to strengthen you, if we'll take the right attitudes, is available every day. Now, come back over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So he says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That is God's will, giving thanks in everything. Verse 19, he says, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. He says, you have to remember, even in times of loss, the standard for what's holy and righteous behavior does not change. I'll let you read this on your own. If you want to mark down Numbers chapter 20, it's kind of a rather interesting story in terms of the events that take place. In Numbers chapter 20, the first event that happens is Miriam, who is Moses' oldest sister, probably only sister, passes away. This is the same sister that made sure that whenever Moses was put in this little ark made out of bulrushes that would float on the water and pitched with tar, she's the one who stood on the shore, and whenever the baby started crying and someone came down, she's the one who intervened, and she's died. The people come and contend against Moses and Aaron, and in doing so, they basically say, we wish we were back in Egypt. We're going to die because we don't have any water to drink. Moses and Aaron fall down before the Lord. They ask him, what should we do? And sure enough, God says, go out, speak to the rock, and it will bring forth water. And Moses takes the rod as he was told and goes out, and instead of speaking, he hits the rock twice. Here he is grieving over his sister. But God's standard of what is holy and righteous behavior has not changed. And he steps out and he hits the rock twice. God still gives the water to the people because he's a gracious God. But then God tells Moses, you will not be allowed to go into the promised land because you did not treat me as holy, because you didn't obey me. Then the chapter ends with Aaron's death. Numbers chapter 20 starts with the death of Miriam, then it ends with the death of Aaron, who's 3 years older than Moses. What does that tell us about what God expects even while we're grieving? We'd still better honor him. We'd still better treat him as holy. So here in verse 19 where it says, do not quench the spirit, he says, you still better walk by what's holy. He says, we still better be attentive to make sure, how can I strive to be grateful even through these days of difficulty? Because he's the one who can provide. And then, of course, in verse 20, he says, do not despise prophetic utterances. Moses didn't obey what he was told as a prophet, and it cost him entering into the promised land. Do you know that how we handle grief can cost us our soul? If we are people who cannot find gratitude, whether it be in thanks or rejoicing, and I don't mean here the idea of leaping for joy necessarily, but going, am I striving to do the will of God in my life? He says, make sure we don't despise what God has said. It's there for a specific reason to help us. Then notice how this continues on even further. And because realize, if we don't respond right and we swerve further away from God, it may just cost us our soul, thinking that it doesn't matter. And to think, here's God who's provided the way to find strength from his word, but we don't respond. Then he continues on, verse 21. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. He says, examine everything carefully. So often in times of grief, we become numb. We can become overwhelmed. And we don't always have the most ready of thinking. Now, once again, this whole passage applies in general to every situation that we encounter. But specifically thinking about in times of grief, of going, sometimes I need some advice. Here I am, I'm praying without ceasing. I may have lost my best friend and my mate, the one I would typically bounce these ideas off of, and they're not there. So what do I do? How do I examine things carefully, making sure I'm not stepping into something that's clear to everybody else but not me? Because of grief. And you go, will you ask for help? Will you reach out to someone who's spiritually minded? Not just someone who's been through the same experiences, but someone who's done it spiritually. And you may go, and how will I know if I'm really talking to someone who's spiritually minded? Because do you know who they'll point you to? They'll point you to God. They'll point you to Scripture, and they may have to tell you something that you may not enjoy hearing, and love them for it. If it really comes out of this mindset of going, examine everything carefully, be thoughtful. And then if you notice how it turns, he says, hold fast to that which is good. If something is good, do not let go. And at the same time, don't go, it's just a little bit wrong. Because that's the path that leads right away from honoring God and doing His will. And you start looking at these concepts together and you see how they play together, because sometimes those moments are overwhelming. And to go, you know what? I come and I need some help. And you start to see these things together, drawing them out of God's word. Because look at what God does. Look at verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You think about striving to overcome the vulnerability in moments of loss. Look at the way God is talked about. The God of peace, and notice how personal this is. The God of peace himself. If you want to find peace in moments of loss, who can you turn to find peace other than the God of peace? If you think about 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, it talks about him being the God of all comfort. If he's the God of all comfort, and he is, if he has all of it, where else can you go to truly find it? Nowhere. He's the only source. And so if you want to find peace, you want to find comfort, he says here, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. Sanctify, set you apart as holy. Are our attitudes and our thinking and our ways going to line up with what God desires? To be holy. Because the God of peace himself, he's personal in this relationship with you. Take you from what is common to man. I think everyone understands loss at some age. Take you to a place of holiness where he says, I'm going to set you apart. I'm the one who will give you peace. I'm the one who will give you comfort. And there are things that God will give you that no one else on this planet can. Notice here, he says, even to this part about entirely, look at every aspect of your body, yourself, really. He says, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete. Notice the spirit's not capitalized. It's about your spirit. What is your attitude going to be? If it's going to be one of rejoicing and gratitude and thankfulness, he says, I will preserve you complete. Your soul, the spiritual aspect of you, the eternal aspect of you, he says, you offer it to God, and it may be quite difficult. Keep on striving to do his will. He says, I'll preserve you complete. And then he says, your body. Now, what's going to happen to all these physical bodies? They're going to go back to dust. No matter how good you take care of them, they're going to go back to dust. Realize eternity is what we're looking at, not just the temporary. And he says, and he will provide. He says, sanctify you entirely, spirit, soul, body be preserved complete. What is preservation? Eternal life. Then, he says, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we're looking forward to his coming to make sure we're ready whenever we meet with the day of eternity, whenever we die from this earth. And dying faithful in the Lord means the day of our death is a marvelous and wonderful day to get to see the Lord face to face, to get to be with him. Then notice verse 24. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. God has not forgotten you. He's faithful. He has not forgotten you. And whatever he has promised, know that he is able to do. He's the God who's all sufficient. He can carry you through anything if you will trust in him. No matter how great or small, even through the difficulties. And then notice where I'm going to end this in verse 25. He says, brethren, pray for us. In times of grief, don't be afraid to ask somebody to pray for you. Ask them to pray for you. Something tells me if they love you and they love the Lord, they certainly will be glad to. You realize through all of these things together, it's going to take going against the flow of what's natural. But isn't that what being a saint called according to God's purpose is all about anyway? But especially in times of grief. So can we choose to aim for gratitude? There will be moments where we mourn. There will be moments that overcome us at times we didn't expect. But understand the God of peace stands ready if we'll have the right mindset and the right attitude. And to know if we've lived faithful in the Lord, it makes it easier for anyone who loses us. That's the greatest gift you can give your family, is entrusting yourself to God, no matter what the scenario. If there's anyone here this morning, if we can be of any aid, will you come while we stand and sing?